for putting this together. Rabbi Shoshan, you should be zaycha to Shefa Brach Vatzlach Avidai. Lomcha Tir Bechayecha. You should be zaycha to have just nachas, to see the Paris of your works on all levels, Bagashmas Bruchni as you and all the Chaver. So, I usually end with a story. Maybe I'll start with a story. So, there's a big tzaddik. He's one of the great Chassidic Rebbes, Rabbunim from Shischa. I'm sure you've heard of him, the Rebbe Rabbunim. So the Rebbe Rabbunim, before he revealed himself as a Rebbe, as a tzaddik, so he was a businessman. He had a career in business. And he would travel around Europe, wherever the business took him. And the Chitzanius, officially he was on business trips. In Pnimius, he was being Makarav Neshamas. So the Maisa goes like this. One time he was traveling with his son. His son's name was Rav Avram Moshe. So Rebbe Rabbunim is with his son, and the business venture that they were in took them to Germany. And so he's hanging out with other Yidden, that his business associates, and these were very modern Jews, Jews that were touched by Haskalah and so on. They were not, as the Belzerov would say, they didn't wear a binatan film. Okay, that's who these people were. But nevertheless, Rabbunim would farbrang with them, he would talk to them, he was makarv them, he was trying to be makarv them. And so very often when he would sit with them, he would say Torah, he would share Torah with them. Now, these guys were not holding by receiving the Torah that Rabbunim was saying. Not only did they not chab, not only was it like mamash over their heads, but they would make fun of it, they would poke fun at it. So it wasn't a very bakavadika thing. So Rabbunim's son, Rav Avraham Moshe, said to his father, he said, Tati, you know, it's not, I understand you want to share Torah, and I know what you're trying to do, but these guys, they're not makabim of this. They can't hear it. They're disrespecting the Torah that you're saying. And he said, what came out of his mouth was, he said, they're apikarsin. They fell into apikarsis. They're not ready for the Torah that you're sharing. So the Rebbe Rabbunim heard that. The Rebbe Rabbunim said, you know what, you're right. But next time when you see that we're together, and we're for bringing together, and you see in me that I'm about to share Torah, remind me. Because I might forget this conversation. So remind me. Fine. So the next time Rabbunim was with these guys, so Avraham Moshe sees by his father on his face that he's about to share Torah. So Avraham Moshe says to his son, he says, Tata, I'm just reminding you. So Rabbunim turns to his son, he said, you called him apikarsin. So the only apikaris I know is Parai. He's only apikaris. When bad things happen to Parai, he doubles down on who's Hashem, who cares about it. That's an apikaris. But these Yidden, Chas v'Shalom, if negative things happen to them, they call out Shema Yisrael. He called them apikarsin. And he said Torah. That's the mice. So I have a kasha. My kasha is, why didn't he give that response initially? Initially he says to his son, I hear, okay, fine, remind me. And then when he actually is about to say the Torah, then he comes up with this teretz. It's not such a chiddush like a teretz. So what took so long? Why didn't he respond initially? That's the question. Alright, so listen, you know, I don't know if it was a conscious decision or not, but you know, for Yidden to get together tonight, it's an auspicious time. Sometimes, besides it being Yarchi Kala for you guys, and it's always a good event, but it's the Baal Tanya's Yard site. Tonight's the Baal Tanya's Yard site. So, you know, the Baal Tanya writes in one of his letters, he says that if you had 10 Yidden in a room, even if they're not being Isaac in Torah, and they're not being Isaac in anything holy, just 10 Yidden together, they're not doing anything bad, but they're just 10 Yidden together. The Baal Tanya wrote that even a Malach wouldn't dare go into that space, because the Malach would become bottle, would become nullified from the Elokus that's generated by just 10 Yidden. So, Alachas Kamvakam, we have Yidden like this getting together for the purpose of Ischaskas and Atstam Yidden. Yidden that are Isaac and being Moser Nefesh to help other Yidden to be Makar of them, of Yom Shavah Shemai. It's not a small Zach. So let me talk to you just for a few minutes. Maybe we'll make a L'chaim in between and we'll continue a little bit. So just for a few minutes about a certain, I don't know what the word is, a certain taina. You could even use that word. A certain taina that a makariv, that someone that's Isaac in this malachas HaKadosh of bringing others closer to Hashem, a certain taina that you might have, that a person might have. I come from Ishbitzer, that's my yichis, and by the Ishbitzer, his farm are full with acknowledging tainas that a yid might have against the Rabbanu Shel Olam. You put it out on the table, and you deal with it. And in the middle of it, from that, then you could discover a deeper place within yourself and a deeper place in the Likos. There's a certain taina that a yid can have. What's the taina? In order to be makar of yidin, in order to dedicate yourself to help others and to teach Torah, it requires mesiras nefesh. It requires mesiras nefesh b'gashmius. It takes time. You're sacrificing maybe other business opportunities that would provide more money. But I don't think you have taina's about that. I don't think anyone. Because l'maisa, if you're in this profession, it means that you're a yid, like the Baal Tani describes in Sefer Tanya, you're a yid, that your nesham is more ikar than your guf. So yeah, it doesn't mean that it's always easy. It doesn't mean that that you don't kvetch a little bit sometimes. But it's not a taina. You're all happy to sacrifice your guf for your nesham. But the taina that a yid might have, and I'm just sharing, this is a, you know, something that every person in this field has to deal with, is that not only does it require mesiras nefesh b'gashmias, it also seems to require mesiras nefesh b'ruchnias. I mean, let's face it, anyone that's being involved in the makar of yidin is someone that likes learning. Someone that cares about learning, someone that cares about avodas Hashem. That's the only way that you would be in this profession to begin with. But the catch 22, the irony is that someone that's so in love with Torah has to spend so much time sort of either teaching Torah on a lower level, being involved with people's lives. That's Mesiras Nefesh and Ruchnis. So we all know that Avada, of course, it requires Mesiras Nefesh and it's a Gevalt Gazav. But there's a shtickle taina, there's a shtickle complaint. I'm not saying in an angry way and in a rebellious way, but there's something that the heart of a yid that's involved in this Melechus HaKadosh sometimes feels a bitterness in the fact that they have to be Meiser Nefesh, even in Ruchnias. So that's what I want to talk about just for a few minutes, to sort of speak to that part of the Neshama that to soften it, to be mamtik that. So if you ask any good, like Yeshiva Bachrov, you know, when it comes to Talmud Torah, What's the Everest? You know, what's the Mount Rushmore? What's the greatest level of Talmud Chacham, Talmud Torah that a person can reach? So the average Bachro will tell you, as Mashgiach just told the Mishmuz yesterday about it, Keser Torah, right? It's the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel. Rambam devotes a whole chapter to Madrega that's called Keser Torah, the crown of Torah. That's the highest level. That's the highest, you know, the highest degree of achievement in terms of Talmud Torah and Avodas Hashem is Keser Torah. And the Rambam is marked with this in Perek Gimel, that the way to be zoicha to Keser Torah, you have to live life of mamish devotion to learning. Chayit Sartichya v'chulu. Everyone knows the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Talmud Torah. But here's the problem. There's a different Rambam. The Rambam a little bit earlier, I'll just share with you like this. You guys like learning. So the Rambam says like this. In Hilchas Talmud Torah, the Rambam says as follows. The Rambam in Perek Aleph is talking about the basic mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and he talks about that everyone has to be kveita, and everyone has to learn, and so on and so forth. Says the Rambam like this, Kol ish mi Yisrael is chayv in Talmud Torah. Everyone has to learn. Again, the Rambam says, poor, rich, busy, not busy, v'chulu v'chulu. Then the Rambam in Halacha Tes gives what seems to be like Divrei Chizik. And the Rambam says, you should know, G'doy lechach mi Yisrael, hayim mehem chayt ve'etzim, u'mehem shoy ve'mayim. You should know that some of the greatest yidden of all time had difficult jobs. They were, you know, lumberjacks and water carriers and so on. Umihem sumim, many of them were blind. V'afal pikein, hoy oiskin v'tar b'yom v'layla. And despite all of the difficulties, they would still be oisik in Torah day and night. V'hem mechlal matike hashmua, ish mipi ma'isha rabbein. And they made it to the top. What's the top? They became part of that chain that's called matike shmua. Or in other words, Bali Masaira, part of that chain of transitioning, of transmitting Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Har Sinai, through the generations. So Rambam's point is to make what? What's the Rambam's point? He's trying to say, he's trying to give chizik, that despite all the difficulties a person could have in life, if you push, you can make it to the top. What's the top? I thought the top is Keser Torah. The Rambam should say that Chachamim, who had all the struggles in life, but Afal Pikin pushed and pushed and pushed, they made it to become malachim, to become kings, the people that were crowned with the Keser of Torah. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam over here is all of a sudden hinting to a different, you know, echelon, a different madriga, a different goal, which is matike shmur. So how do we understand this? What's the height? What's the goal? What's the top of the line? What's the top of the food chain in terms of Torah and Avodas Hashem? Something that's called Keser Torah? Or something that's called Matike Shmur? Which one is it? So listen. In Chassidus we have the following idea. In Chassidus is an idea that anything that you're dealing with always expresses itself in two levels. There's two aspects to everything. There's what's called in Chassidus the etzem, the essential thing itself, and then there's what's called the R, the light of the thing. How the thing vibrates, how it moves outward, how it's experienced outside of the thing itself. There's the essence, and then there's how it's experienced outwardly. Just as, that's a principle. There's always a principle. So you have a table. There's the table itself, the essence of the table itself, and then there's how you use the table, how you interact with the table. There's always two things. There's the etzem hadover, and then there's the or, the light, the emanation, the vibration, the usage, the movement. It's always two things. Torah also has those two qualities to it. There's how Torah sort of enters into our world. There's how Torah relates to us. There's how we interact with Torah. There's the light of Torah. And very often that could even be a defining feature of what Torah is. Kiner mitzvah Torah are. But then there's something that's called Torah itself, the essence of Torah itself. In Chassidus we're taught that these two madrigas that the Rambam is talking about, these two goals of what's called Keser Torah, but then there's something that's called Matike Shmo Bali HaMesaira, is referring to two different aspects of what Torah is. There's the light of Torah, how Torah, the energy, the pulse of Torah, how it interacts with the world, how we interact with it, the light of Torah, so to speak, the highest madrig in that is what's called Keser Torah. Someone that devotes himself to learning all day and all night, b'chulu b'chulu, so he's crowned with the crown of Torah. But the crown of Torah is not Torah itself. There's such a thing that's called the essence of Torah. The essence of Torah is given to someone who's of that category of Matike Shmur. Someone that devotes themselves to transmit the Torah, to be part of that chain of transmission, from generation to generation, Matike Shmur. And that's a different type of inyan. There's something that's called the light of Torah, and then there's the Torah itself. How does one become part of this category that's called Matike Shmur? You know, the Rambam in his introduction to Mishnah Torah talks about this. And you have to learn the Hakdama of the Rambam very, very well to understand this inyan of what's called this, to be that category of Bali HaMesaira. So listen, we know historically there are some like famous names that pop up. The Rambam makes that list. But the question is like, how do you become a member of that? How do you become a member of that? How is a person zaycha to what's called the essence of Torah? Well, Chassidus sheds light on this as well. And Chassidus explains that if you want to become attached to the essence of something, then that's only possible if you could identify where that thing in its essence comes from. Only if you could identify where something truly comes from, what's the Siba, where is it born from, what mountain is it hewed from, only then can you say, I know it. You have to be able to identify where does the Torah in its essence come from. Once the Torah is out there, then you could relate to the light of Torah, the energy of Torah, what it tells you to do, what it tells you not to do. But to be able to say that I am going to be one that's bound to the essence of Torah itself, which is part of that chain of transmitting the Torah, in order to give the Torah over, it means that you have to be able to hold it in your hands. To hold it in your hands means that you have to be able to say that I know what Torah is. In order to say I know what Torah is, you have to know where it comes from. So where does Torah come from? Says a Medrash. There's a Medrash, Tana d'Vilyo. It's a well-known Medrash, but there's a way to explain it. The Medrash says like this, a Yid once met Eliyahu Navi, and the Yid says to Eliyahu Navi, there are two things that I love, an absolute, complete love. I love Torah, and I love Yid. But he asked Eliyahu Navi, but I don't know which one I should love more. Should I love Torah more or should I love Yidden more? So that's the question asked Eliyahu Navi. Says Eliyahu Navi to this Yid, like this. The Velt says, if you ask other people, they'll tell you, Torah, you should love Torah more. And they'll quote Sukkim. Now, Torah is the first thing that the Rebbeinu Shem ever created, they'll quote Sukkim to. But if you're asking me, I'm telling you Yidden first. So Tzadik HaKohen Reuven asks the question, what type of response is that? I'm asking Eliyahu because I want to know what Eliyahu says. As Eliyahu says, if you ask other people, I'm not asking other people, I'm not interested. If I wanted to know what other people wanted to say, I would ask them. I'm asking you, Eliyahu. So why does Eliyahu have to say, if you ask other people, they'll tell you Torah. If you're asking me, I'm telling you Yid. The answer is, what Eliyahu is telling us is these two things. What he's telling us is Yid is like this. What type of Torah are you trying to connect to? Are you trying to connect the light of Torah to the vibration of Torah, to the movement of Torah? Are you trying to get to that goal that's called Keser Torah? Then I'm telling you Torah first before Yid. But if you're asking me, and Eliyahu Navi is one of the Ma'atikei Shmua. He's one of the ones in that chain of command that goes from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way to Mashiach. Not only is he one of those members, he's one of the most fundamental members of all. According to the many Rishayim, Eliyahu Navi is going to be the one to be able to sort of bring back the Sanhedrin when Mashiach comes. And he'll be able to reconnect that chain and to, you know, bring the chain back to life, so to speak. So says Eliyahu Navi, what are you interested in? Are you interested in the light of Torah, in being able to say that, you know, nice ideas, and to be spiritually charged, and to have madregas? Then don't think about Yidden, think about Torah. But if you're interested in the essence, if you're interested in the absolute truth itself, and you want to know in its essence where Torah comes from, the answer is Yidden. The answer is Yidden. And this is the great secret. The great secret is that the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't create a Torah and then try to figure out who to give it to. The Rebbeinu Shlom created Nishmas Yisrael. In Nishmas Yisrael, Kod Mal Olam, in the language of the Baal Tanya, again, it says Yartzeh, the Baal Tanya said a Lashon, that Nishmas Yisrael is rooted in Machshava Keduma Shabaak, in the earliest primordial thought that can ever be conceptualized in the Infinite One Himself. And that initial thought was Nishmas Yisrael. And from there comes Torah. Not that Torah was even created to guide Yidden. Torah is a divine construct whose origin is in soul form in the Yid. Every Yid is a walking, living, breathing divine consciousness. That's what a Yid is. And Torah emanates from that. Every single year, there's no such thing as a year that's ultimately disconnected or outside of Torah, of any sugya. Like I've given this example, you know, let's say, of Hanukkah. So everyone knows there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, my Hanukkah. The answer is, Hanukkah is gevaldik, right? This is a question, what's Hanukkah? The answer is, Hanukkah is amazing. Every year there's a sugya. That means that there is some Yidden walking around with that, and their identity is, what's Hanukkah? Who cares about Hanukkah? And there's another Yid that their identity is, no, Hanukkah is gevalt. Hanukkah is the most lichtige thing in the world. So you look at those two Yidden, and the thought is, okay, well, this guy is outside of Hanukkah. And this guy is Hanukkah. No such thing. I'm giving Hanukkah as an example. Every Yid is a sugya. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. This Yid that's asking the question, he's the Kasha. He's the Kasha. And without the Kasha, there's no Teretz. Without the Teretz, the Kasha is, you know, hanging and it's unbearable. But there's no such thing as Yid that's outside of that. Every Torah is emanating from Nishmas Yisrael. There's a well-known Medrash. The Medrash says, the Medrash says that Rabbi Yanai was walking down the street, and he sees someone that's dressed like a Talmud Chacham. I'm sure you all know this measure, it's a well-known measure. And it looks like in those days, if you dressed up like a Talmud Chacham, then you got, taxes were lowered. It was, the Rabbi Yanai invites this Yid into his house, and he has him say Avart, no Vart, Gemar, nothing, Mishnah is nothing, Chomish, nothing, he doesn't know anything. Bench, he doesn't know how to bench. So So Rabbi Yonah says, you're a gun. What are you doing? You're walking around like a Talmud Chacham, kilu, you don't know anything. You're stealing money from the government. What are you doing? So what does this Yid answer back? So this Yid says, you know what? I just remembered something. I was once passing by a cheder, and I remember the kids were saying a pasuk. What's the pasuk? Torah tzivalanu Moshe, Meirosha kihilas Yaakov. And this Amoret said to Rabbi Yonah, kihilas Yanai ain't psivka. They didn't say that the Torah was an inheritance to Kehilas Yanai. Kehilas Yaakov. So you have my Yerusha. It's not my fault that I'm Tamachah. You should have taught me. That's the Medrash. But the Medrash continues. The Medrash says that Rabbi Yanai said, Mi Yom of my entire life, I never chat the Pasuk. Until this Amoritz taught me the Pasuk. This is something. What exactly did this Amoritz teach Rabbi Yanai? You want to say that he gave him like a shtach and a Moser? Masih. Rabbi Yanai didn't say that like, oh, he really got me. Rabbi Yanai said, I never understood the Pasuk until this Yid taught me the Pasuk. What did he teach him? There's another Gemara. There's another similar Gemara, right? The Gemara says that there was a guy in the Shuk, and he was calling out, who wants to buy the medication of life? Me, man boy, Sam Dechai. Man boy, Sam Dechai. So I think it was Rabbi Yanai also. He's walking down, and he, okay, let's see. And people are gathered together, and what does the guy say? And so on, don't say Lashon Hara. And it was like, oh, okay, sure. They go on to the next, the next kiosk. It says the Gemara, I think it was Rabbi Yanai also. Rabbi Yanai says, Miyomav, I never understood the Pasuk until this guy said it. Now I chap the Pasuk. What exactly did the guy teach? All he said was, Pshudish al-Mikra. He said, don't say Lashon Hara. What's the Chiddush? The answer is, the very essence of that guy's neshama, he was that Pasuk. That pasuk of Mia Yeshachavetz Chaim Nesar Lashon Chameira was a verse that was materialized from the neshama of this guy. And the same thing with that pasuk of Merasha Kilas Yaakov. That pasuk Merasha Kilas Yaakov was a pasuk that was the materialization of that guy's neshama. That guy's neshama was the root of that pasuk. So when Rabbi Yanai hears this pasuk said by that person, then Rabbi Yanai, for the first time in his life, doesn't just feel the aura of that pasuk; he has the essence of that pasuk. It's not that he didn't intellectually understand the pasuk until now, but the pasuk now was tangible to him. It reverberated in his kishkes. It was a metzias to him that Merasha Kilas Yaakov. Why? Because it was said by the guy who the essence of his neshama was the shorish of that pasuk. And the same thing with the guy that says Man Boy Yisami Dechai. He didn't say a chiddush. There is no. If a person wants the essence of Torah, then you have to acknowledge. You have to be machshev where it comes from, which is Nishmas Yisrael. So, what does it mean to be part of the Matikei Shmua, those that transmit the Torah to generation to generation? In order to do that, you have to be someone who understands what Torah is. You have to embrace the shlichus that the Rabbanu Shalom has given each and every one of us, which is not to just be involved with the light of Torah, and then to have a goal of Keser Torah. That's gavaldik, you think, to be crowned with the crown of Torah, but that's not Torah itself. In order to be able to be someone that zaycha to the essence of Torah itself, which is the essence of godliness, it means the person has to recognize that the essence of godliness is rooted in the essence of a Jewish person's soul. That's where it's coming from. And the deepest connection that a person has to God is through the connection that one has to the essence of another Jew's neshama, from which Torah emerges. This is the difference between Torah that said min asafa luchutz, so to speak, versus Torah that said by tzaddikim that changed a person's life. You know, these parshas that we're in. So Pesach, you know, it's interesting, right? So from our perspective, if you compare Pesach to Shavuos, right? These are the parshas that we're in right now. So you compare Pesach to Shavuos. What's the Iker? So by us, like Mitzidenu, from our perspective, Pesach is Alchonet, they get to Shavuos. Right? Yeah, Pesach, then Sfir. So Omer, everyone knows, you're counting up to get to Mount Tor. Mount Tor is the Iker. Tavdunus, Lakim, Alariz, that's Kavadigazah. That's from our perspective. But if you look in Chumash, which is really God's perspective, it doesn't seem that way. Shavuos is not, it doesn't even say Mount Tor is Shavuos. It's not Shavuos. The Iker is Pesach. Zechut Yisrael says 50 times in Chumash, Zechut Yisrael. So what is that? The answer is Pesach is about the clarification and the chashivas of Nishmas Yisrael. Torah, Shavuos is about the Torah. So it's no different than that Medrash. The Yid asked Eliyahu Hanavi, what's the Iker? Eliyahu Hanavi said, well, if you ask everyone else, they'll tell you Torah. But if you ask me, I'm telling you Yidden. So from our perspective, the most natural thing is to relate to the light of Torah. What Torah says. What does the Rabbanu Shalom say of me? Madregas, Hasagas. Well, in that case, Shavuos is the Iker. And the Yidden are there. You know, obviously, you need a minion. But that's all mitzidin. It's our perspective. From the Rabbanu Shalom's perspective, from the place of essence, the Iker is Yidden. Torah is a commentary to that. This Yid is a walk. He is the origin. He is the essence of that pasuk of Netzar L'Shem Chmira. He is the essence of that pasuk of Marasha Kilos Yaakov. That's a walking, living, breathing essence. The pasuk is the commentary. The pasuk is how it materializes, how it emanates from him. This is true in Torah, and this is the question of what does the Yid want? And this is the ultimate litmus test that a Jew has to decide. Very often the decision is as follows. What do you want? Do you want to feel close to God, or do you actually want to be close to God? It's a very important question. Do you want Madregas, or do you want the essence? Again, it's the art of the Baal Tanya. The Baal Tanya, very often, you know, in davening, or more than davening, he would go into a state of dvekas. Most of us have never even seen such a thing. But literally, he would just, they say, there's a maisa, for example, the Baal Tanya, that he was during davening once, and he collapsed, and he was just like out on the floor. And all the chassidim were worried that maybe he had a heart attack or something. So one of his greatest students, Rav Aharon Ashishelya, was there. Rav Aharon said, you don't have to worry about this. He's just in Tveikas. Varaya, he went, he took off his Tilin Shalraish. Baal Tanya was back. It's such a thing. You know what the Baal Tanya would say when he was in a state of Tveikas? He had a go-to line. Anyone knows what he's like? His go-to line was, Ravon Shalom, I don't want your Olam Hazeh. I don't want your Olam Haba. I don't want Gan Eden HaTachtoin. I don't want Gan Eden Elyon. All I want is you. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Gan Eden is all Madregas. It's all near Mitzvah Torah. It's Iris. It's Gevaldig Gezach. But Goyim want Iris. If you're a Yid, you want the essence. And the essence is only found through other Yidden. That's the only thing. If you want Madregas and Asagas, then just sit and learn and don't think about it and don't care about anyone else. But if you want God Himself, if you want the absolute truth and the essence, then all you have to, then the focal point is Yidden. It doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom not to learn. And it doesn't mean to make yourself a shmata. But it means that whatever it is that you're able, when you do learn, it's b'shem kol Yisrael. And when you're engaged with another Yid, you're unpackaging the essence of God Himself, and you're engaged in the depth of not figuring out a sugya. You're dealing with where the sugya comes from. And this is what the neshama ultimately wants. This is the difference. Like, again, from the Baal Tanya, we're all divided into two parts. You have your neshama, and you have your human side. The human side of who we are wants madregas, wants Hasagas, wants Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Gan Eden Tachton, Gan Eden Elyon. So when you try to inspire a Yid and you tell them, you know, Yiddishkeit's amazing because you're going to get so much schar, or Yiddishkeit is so important because otherwise you'll get so much punishment, even if that does motivate someone, you're only motivating the human side of who they are. Because the essence of the neshama could not care less about Olam Haba. This is the real secret. The essence of your neshama does not care at all about Olam Haba. Could not care less. It doesn't care about Gan Eden. It doesn't care about Gehenna. All it cares about is God Himself. And for the essence of the neshama, to communicate, to articulate a language that the essence of the neshama reverberates with is, what does the essence of God want of me? What could I do to connect myself to the essence? And that is obviously with Torah mitzvahs. That's through and through with Avos Yisrael. That's the essence. And that speaks to the essence of the neshama, because that's ultimately what a Yid is for, and that's what we're created to want. So I started with a question. Why would Rabbuna from Shizcha not respond right away to his son that, you're calling them apikarsim, they're Yid and Skevaldik, only Pars and apikars? And only later on, when he was about to say the Torah, then he said the answer. The answer is, that response, he wasn't just responding to a son. That's where his Torah was coming from. That's the Torah of a Rebbe. The Torah of Rabbunim wasn't Stam Avart. He was trying to be Makarv these guys. And the way he's Makarv them was by seeing them as walking, living, breathing roots, essences of Torah, essences of godliness. That statement that he said to his son, that was the origin from which his Torah emanates, which is the Torah of Avos Yisrael. That's what we have to remind ourselves of. Whenever we find ourselves in a situation of where, you know, I'd rather just be learning right now, deal with this guy. You're everything that you want to gain for yourself in your learning, in your Avodas Hashem, is emanating from your interaction with that Yid. It's all coming from that place. And everything that you, all the madregas and the hasagas and the oiris that you'll experience from your learning is rooted in essence, if it's coming from a place of Avas Yisrael, through interacting and being Meister Nefesh for other Yid. So it is true that when a person takes upon themselves this avoida, you sacrifice some madregas. But what you make up for is that instead of madregas, you're connecting to the essence. And then all the madrigas, and by the way, once you have that, you know, then all the madrigas come anyway. It's all, you know, it's all for free. And so just say, I'll just end with this and make a l'chaim, whatever. But there was a yid that, again, not someone that didn't put Rabbi Natan tefillin. So he was very into diktok. Like that was in that world, very often, you know, they weren't necessarily engaged in most levels of Torah, but Dikduk was one of those in Yonim that they were involved in, Maskilim and things like that. So as a Maisa once that one of those Yidden once came to Ruchaim Belozhiner, and he had a very, very big question in Dikduk that he was bothered with. So Ruchaim was giving a shir in the yeshiva, whatever, and after shir was over, this Yid comes over to him with this like Veltskash in Dikduk, which it really was. And Ruchaim Belozhiner, just like off the cuff, gave him a teretz and it blew his mind. So he was bothered. So he goes to Ruchaim and he says, Rabbi, I don't understand. I'm spending my whole life in Dikduk, my whole life. And I'm a bright guy and I can't figure this out. And you're not, you don't, the Indian is not Dikduk. And it's like off the cuff, you come with the teretz. How's it possible? So Ruchaim said it, Pashto teretz. He said, I'll tell you the truth. I'll give you an example of a story. You have a grocery store. A grocery store, you go in, so two Yidden walk into a grocery store. The sign says, 10 cents an hour. So Reuven sees Shimon. Shimon goes, takes one of the plastic bags, you know, and puts 10 apples in a bag, goes to the cashier, 10 cents an apple, he gives $1, he walks out of the store with 10 apples. So Reuven thinks to himself, 1 second, 10 cents per apple, 10 apples was $1, but he didn't pay for the bag. LMI, bags are free. So he takes the whole roll off the thing and starts walking out of the store. So the guy stops and he says, what are you doing? What do you mean? The bags are free. The guy didn't, shite, if you buy the apples, you get the bag for free. If you want the bags are going to be more expensive. So said Ruchaim Belozhiner, I'm Isaac in the apples. The bags come for free. You want madrigas, you want hasagas, it's much harder. But if you want the essence, which is obviously Yisrael and another Yid, and trying to get to God himself, not Gan Eden, not Olam Haba, not Tzchar, not avoiding Einish, but essence, all the bags that you'll ever want all come for free. Hashem should bless us. That we should see the Paris of our actions, we should be able to see nachas from ourselves, nachas from others, and be able to be zaycha, to be able to say that, just like the Baal Tanya said, I don't want this, I don't want that, not Gan Eden, not Elyon, not Tachton, just the Rabbanim from himself, the Rabbanim from Shulkadas, and say, I don't care about your madregas or lack thereof, all I want is you. We should be zaycha to that place of yichud, of atecha, of shimcha, of mikam risod, vayachabars, be as gold for barach, and then the hair of the main one. Amen. Amen. Amen.